hour number four of our radio program. Before we get to the news brief, we do have some breaking news. So Kevin Durant tonight was supposed to have his first home game as a member of the Suns. He was warming up, and it looked like he was going up for a layup or a dunk, and he slipped in the paint. And Kellen Olsen has a video out there who covers the Suns for Empire of the Suns. And he falls, and then the video kind of cuts off. Kellen says he stayed down for a few seconds, but then got up and finishes on-court workout. Now, the story doesn't end there, though, where Shams Charania is now reporting that KD is out for the game tonight against the Thunder due to a left ankle injury, and he said Durant slipped on the court in the pregame workout. Now, assuming that this is not too serious, Hickey, and we don't know if it is or isn't, maybe it's just precautionary. If it is that way, where it's just precautionary and he then gets back the next time they play on the court, this will be something that will be memed and gifted for a while. Because have you seen this video yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, do me a favor. Pop open Twitter right now and just tweet Kevin Durant. And you got to, like, he goes up and it's very awkward on the fall. It looks like the court is, like, I don't know if the court is wet, but with how he slips, like, you just assume that the court is wet. Like, I hope everything is fine, but it was really awkward what happened. And then if he continued his pregame routine and then goes to the locker room and then is out, you wonder how serious that this actually is. Have you seen the video now?
I have, yes. It's
kind of looks like if you were in the grocery store and, like, you tripped on a can or something and you fell right up. And then you fell right down. That's what it would kind of look like.
I wish we saw, like, how the ankle actually looked. I mean, I'm assuming he rolled it, and that's why he's out. He did have a little bit of a limp when he got up and kind of walked back to the layup line. But, I mean, I'll say this. He's obviously out, but him at least finishing the warm-ups should at least indicate it's not that serious.
Never know.
Should be back in a game or so. Again, Kevin Durant and timeline injuries. Like you said, you really don't know as a Nets fan. You see him, you know, be out where you think, okay, he's out for a week or two, and next thing you know, it's 3 months. But I would say definitely could have been a lot worse. I'd be surprised if this is anything more than a week.
Now, we're more plugged in than most people. Like, we're all over Twitter. We're all over Instagram. Imagine how many people show up to the arena tonight. Because when this is going on, there's barely anyone in the stands. But imagine how many people show up and they're like, all right, we get to see KD. Here we go. First home game with KD in a Suns uniform. You get to the stadium. If you were not checking Twitter or Instagram, you didn't hear anyone walking into the stadium, be like, oh, I spent this money on the ticket and it's load management? That's what you probably think if you're showing up to the stadium and you find out that Durant's not playing in the game.
I just saw a reverse angle of him. His ankle's rolled. It doesn't look that bad. It definitely looks serious enough to where it makes sense why he's out, but you are right. You can't really make it up. First home game after the big trade, the place I'm sure was sold out, was going to be rocking. And it's like, right, if you maybe get an extra beer at the bar before going in,
yeah,
let's go see Kevin Durant, get there for the intros, and then you see him on the bench. It's like, what the hell's going on here?
Well, I was in that stadium Super Bowl week because I was there for the Dave Matthews Show. Like, you know, I actually had decent stadium pizza. I had a quick little personal pie there, and I got a beer, and I walked around. Like, imagine if you get there. You get a drink, and you're walking around, and then it's like someone says, oh, Durant got hurt. He's not playing tonight. You would have never believed that. Now, tickets right now on SeatGeek are only like $68. And their next home game, or the next game, is coming up on Saturday against the Kings. Who knows if he's going to be able to play for that one. But
that's a big one. You hope he can play.
Well, they play Milwaukee on the 14th. I was looking at their next home game after that. $123 for a ticket. For a regular season game, and I know it's the Bucks, and that's upper deck in the corner. $123, and does that include fees? I don't think it does, so it's $165 with fees.
Kevin Durant, Giannis, makes sense. Makes sense.
But geez, that's brutal. I feel bad if you're a Suns fan, right? You're going to the game. And I know they still have a heck of a team, but you're all excited to go see Kevin Durant in a home uniform, right? You get that introduction. Oh, here he is, Kevin Durant. And the next thing you know, oh, yeah, there's no introduction. There's nothing.
I'm not laughing at the injury. I'm laughing at the timing. It's hilarious. Like, again, literally first home game, and it's like, of course. Like, it's not like you get hurt the last game in the game, and it's, oh, he's probably going to miss the game. It's 10 minutes before the game starts. Literally, okay, this is almost the safest place on the court. Slips, rolls his ankle, out for the game. You can't make it up. You really can't.
So this game has not started yet, but it was supposed to tip off at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern. So you know that's never the case. So that's 7 out there in mountain time. Yeah, that stinks. That's just absolutely brutal. So this is, what, like 20 minutes probably before tip?
Something like that. Layup lines, yeah. It's not that far away.
Jeez, that's
brutal.
He's
in full uniform, too, so it wasn't even like one of those two-hour before-the-game workouts. It was minutes before. Stinks.
Do you think the court was wet?
I mean, he kind of rolled it. I mean, he wasn't exactly sprinting, so I'd definitely say so.
Someone's getting fired. Someone is losing their job.
Where's the mop boy? Get him out. Towel guy's out.
That's why you need our main man, Jersey Jerry, from Barstool Sports. When you had the Barstool Classic, he was mopping up the court. He was sensational. You need our pal, Jersey Jerry, to be the Phoenix Suns guy that mops up the court. The mop boy. That's what you need, a mop man. Jersey Jerry. He would never have Kevin Durant slipping like that.
I am watching it again. Actually, I don't know. It kind of looks like
he stepped. Can you make up your mind?
Well, it's just kind of tough. Like, his leg doesn't really slide. It actually just looks like he kind of just stepped wrong. Like, I think he actually twisted his own ankle.
So it's left ankle soreness. Unclear right now if the injury is related to... Oh.
Come on.
So listen to this.
Hold on.
I got to see who this guy is. This is Tim Ring, who's a sportscaster, and he works for 98.7. I have never heard of him, but he said Kevin Durant will not play tonight with left ankle soreness. Unclear right now if the injury is related to this fall, Durant tucking warm-ups. What do you mean? It's unclear. The guy was on the court, warming up, falls, and then he's not playing.
I mean, common sense has to prevail. Has to prevail.
Does that guy have a brain? A lot of stupid people in this business.
I mean, Kevin Durant rolls his ankle, limp into the locker room. He's out. I don't know if it has to do with this. I can't definitively say this was the play he got hurt on, but there's a slight chance it could be.
I'm working out of the gym.
Thanks.
I'm on the elliptical. I fall down in pain, and the next thing you know, you don't see me in the gym for a week. Oh, but we don't know if it was related to the fall off the elliptical.
Joe Musgrove broke his toe in the weight room for the Padres like last week. Can't say that definitively if you heard it in the weight room doing some workouts.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tim. Thank you. Really, really knocking it out of the park there.
Jeez.
I can't believe he said that. Did he quote tweet the video?
Yes.
Oh, it's even
worse. The video's below.
That's even worse. Can't confirm or not sure if it has to do with this fall. 10 minutes before the game starts, in full uniform, in which he did not appear on the injury report at all before the game. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness.
Now, the follow-up tweet by Tim. Watching this angle, it's clear the left ankle injury happened on this drive to the hoop in warm-ups. 2 minutes after the other tweet. Yeah.
What are the replies to that? Does anyone have anything snarky in there? I mean, I'm sure mostly Suns fans, so they're probably more concerned.
No bleep, Sherlock.
Really? That's great.
No, that was me.
I was going to say. Thanks, Captain Obvious.
Perfect. Keep him fresh for the playoffs. It was fun for two games. Those are the replies.
Well, that makes sense.
Let me see the other one.
Makes sense.
I mean, you can literally watch the video, bro. This was Tim responding to that. Make assumptions, you get burned. Another angle of the fall that came out later, and you can see the left ankle roll. This video, though, you can't see the ankle. I don't assume otherwise you end up with egg on your face more times than not. That's just a guy that does not give opinions. I can guarantee you that.
We really have to be.
I mean, it seems pretty clear. Holy bleep. And that's about. Oh, there's a few quote tweets. Yeah, now it isn't his home debut.
Jeez.
This guy has to have a big TV background or like a big journalist background, because those are like the traditional journalists don't give opinions, right? TV people, they don't have a teleprompter. They can't speak for most of the times. Jeez. And it just says he's a sportscaster. Phoenix Suns, 98.7 and ABC, 15, host of Cardinals NFL Game Day. Heisman voter, author, podcaster, CEO and filmmaker at Gift of a Lifetime. So that's funny. Got a good laugh out of that. 855-212-4CBS. Let's go to Jay in Alabama, wants to talk about Lamar Jackson. Jay, what's shaking, my man?
Evidently, I'm in the shop trying to find cannolis right now, but I'm still listening to y'all.
Wait, you're trying to find cannolis right now?
Yes, right now. I just found two of them. I'm about to get them right now.
Do you still live in Alabama?
Yes, sir.
Do they make good cannolis in Alabama? Like, when I think of cannolis, and this could be a Northeast bias, I think of New York. Like, that's what I think of when we talk about the United States. But do they make good cannolis in Alabama?
Bro, that's asking me if they got good New York pizza in Huntsville, Alabama, or like Chicago-style pizza down there. All they got is Domino's and whatever else. So, yeah, that's a crazy question.
Okay, so they make bad cannolis in Alabama.
Evidently, I'm buying them for somebody else. I mean, if I'm going to try some, like, if I'm going to try some New Orleans food, I'm going to go to New Orleans and try it. I'm not going to go. I live there. So
how are the Philly cheesesteaks in Alabama, by the way, Jay?
And like a microwavable.
All right, what do you got for me today, Jay? That was funny.
Just called to give you guys your props, because like yesterday, y'all were the first to like even utter it. Like, yo, it's some collusion going on here. And I mean, when you said it, I was like, I wasn't even thinking that, and it did make the light bulb go off. And I mean, it's got to be when you look at, especially like the Jets situation. It's like, whether you get Aaron Rodgers or whether you get Lamar Jackson, you're going to have to break yourself regardless. So why not break yourself with somebody who's only 26 years old, got a long future ahead of him, he's already in MVP, but you're going to get, like, you know, the old dude, that, you know, Caddyshack dude or whatever. And like, and not to diss Aaron Rodgers or anything like that, but, bro, come on, he's on his last leg. He's got, like, 3 years left. Why do that? Why break yourself like that when you're going to have to re-up after he retires in like 3 years? And so it doesn't make sense.
Well, I wouldn't even compare Rodgers and Lamar Jackson, because the Jets are trying to get their team better. If they get Rodgers, they will be a better football team. They feel like they're ready to win now. Maybe some of the health concerns with Lamar Jackson play a factor. But I just look at the teams that right away came out and said they're not interested. The Commanders, they have Sam Howell. The Panthers, they got no one right now. You want to tell me they're going to move up in the draft? Okay, that's fine. You better go get Stroud, or you better go get Young. The Raiders, you got no one. The Falcons, you got Desmond Ridder. You know you're probably going to be drafting a quarterback. So that, to me, those are the teams I focus on. The Jets are irrelevant here in this conversation, because they're going out there and they're getting someone to go improve their team. But I think it's very clear right now, and thanks for the phone call, Jay, and enjoy those cannolis. Or maybe you probably won't enjoy those cannolis. It's clear what's going on. You can't prove collusion here, because it's not like they send out an email blast, hey guys, don't give a guaranteed deal to Lamar Jackson. You got to be the biggest moron in the world to do that. But I do think it's clear that all the owners are working together, or individually, you could say, which is just baloney, are making that decision. Well, we're annoyed at Jimmy Haslam. We don't like that he gave Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed deal, and we don't want to make that a precedent. Because then all quarterbacks are going to start to want fully guaranteed deals. And then also, I forget who made the point. It was one of the guys that joined us on the QB carousel yesterday. Oh, Greg Allman it was. He goes, if you give a fully guaranteed deal out to quarterbacks in back-to-back off seasons, wait until the other position groups then start asking for fully guaranteed deals. And I even think about it that way. So what the owners are doing now, and am I going to believe that the Commanders, the Panthers, the Raiders, the Falcons are all never going to pursue Lamar Jackson? I don't believe that for a second. But what they're doing right now is telling him, we're not giving you a fully guaranteed deal right now. So if you want to run that risk of giving him $200 million fully guaranteed and giving him a $230, $240 million total deal, maybe the Ravens match it. Maybe they don't. And that's the risk that you're going to take. But if you give him a fully guaranteed deal, I don't think the Ravens are matching that. Because Steve Bisciotti killed the Browns when they did it. And he had every right to do so. So these owners are trying to drive the price down and say to Lamar, and it doesn't matter who the player is, but they're trying to say, we're not giving you that contract. And eventually, I do think there will be an owner or two that's going to operate in the best interest of their team, and they're going to do what owners do best, and that's be selfish, and they're going to go give Lamar either a fully guaranteed deal or they're going to make that guaranteed money very high where they're going to try to put the Ravens in a position where they don't accept the deal. Because one of these owners are going to miss in the draft, they're missing free agency, and they're going to say, we got to go win. All right, let's go get Lamar. It only costs 2 first-round picks, and then the owner's being mad at us because we gave him a big, fat contract. And this is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Real quickly, Hickey, cannolis in Alabama? I never thought that's what Jay was going to be saying.
Yeah, I will say I'm very shocked. Will not have some, but I hope I don't imagine them tasting well. But like you said, just to kind of if you expect going in that they're not going to taste great, maybe you won't be as disappointed.
And I thought Jay at first was going to say, no, they're amazing, because he's going to get them. But I guess he's getting them for somewhere else. Jay always keeps us on our toes.
Paul, if you're desperate for cannolis, you'll have some, right?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe they're imbibing on the same things you were imbibing when you predicted that the Broncos are going to have 12 wins this year. That's just me. All right, Paul Kowarski will join us next. We will preview the Tennessee Titans on, of course, the QB Carousel.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
There's nothing better than feeling comfortable in your own shoes. And that doesn't mean flopping down on the couch with bunny slippers. Maybe you're a parent raising a little rock star, or a tech nomad working from anywhere and jumping from one thing to the next. Whoever you are, Allbirds wants you to be comfortable in your actual shoes, too. Their wool runners, pipers, and loungers are designed for a level of coziness that makes you feel like you can do anything. You might even forget you're wearing them. And their shoes are so stylish, they go perfectly with a wear-whatever-I-want attitude. Allbirds is all about loving Mother Nature, too, because no one wants to leave a bad footprint. Each shoe is carefully crafted from natural materials that tread lightly on our planet. From ZQ-certified merino wool to a bouncy midsole made from sweet foam, the world's first carbon-negative EVA material made from sugarcane. So get comfortable in your shoes. Get to know the wool runners, pipers, and loungers at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
You got it. There's Jake Delhomme joining us on the...
Step right up here! Don't be shy!
The Super Bowl is over, but the NFL quarterback carousel is just beginning.
You gotta ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky?
What does the future hold for all 32 NFL teams at the QB position?
Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity to spin this wheel right here.
Let's spin the wheel and find out which teams we hit today. The Tennessee Titans.
All right, let's welcome in our pal, Paul Kowarski. You always liked, but now I love Paul Kowarski, which you can find at paulkowarski.com because I'm on his Twitter bio, Paul Kowarski NFL. I never realized this. He is a Bruce Springsteen addict. Paul, how are you?
I'm good. I've been to 2 shows on this tour already. I went to Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Wow, that's impressive. And where was the other stop?
Atlanta, which is, a reasonable drive from here. But I took a connecting flight to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I'm taking my wife and my 13-year-old son to his first show in Greensboro coming up.
Oh, how about that? Now, my producer, Hot Take Hickey, he got annoyed at me because I said I'm going to 3 shows on this tour, and he's like, isn't that a bit excessive? I'm going in Long Island and New Jersey and then in Philadelphia, trying to swing Madison Square Garden, but... I can't explain to him how great it is because he just doesn't get the magic of the boss.
Yeah, it's not excessive. It's completely appropriate. Congratulations.
Good. Perfect. A lot of the things my producer says end up being wrong, so it's a bad opinion by him, but we'll continue to power through. So let me start you off with Ryan Tannehill. I was operating under the belief that this past year was his final year with Tennessee, but it seems like that's not going to be the case. Do you expect him back on the roster come the fall?
I don't only expect him back. I think it gets extended in order to get his cap number under control. He's $36.6 million. They could sure use some of that money. They stretched it out largely for Julio Jones by redoing his deal and pushing some money into some voidable years. They need to get that number down in all likelihood. And I could see him extending him in a way that he'd maybe be signed through 2004, 2005, and they could get out of it next year or the year after. But, you know, it's not written in stone, and they could trade or release him. I think he's got trade value for sure. They'd eat 18.8 in dead money, but save 17.8, which is obviously a dramatic saving.
Do you expect, I know there's been conflicting reports, that Derrick Henry will be on the roster?
I think he'll be on the roster. I mean, I think they've put their toe in the water to see what he's worth. I don't think he's worth that much. I mean, he's heading towards 30. And he needs, you know, a heavy, heavy workload. And he's not a three-down back. He's not going to help you on third down. He's not very good in the passing game or in pass protection. So he's good in the context of the Titans, who are going to give him the ball 23, 24 times a game. But who else is going to structure their offense around a guy like that and give up a value pick to take on $10 million in base salary? I think it's kind of a long shot that they'd get their money's worth for him, so to speak.
What do you think it's going to have to be in return for them to say, okay, we're going to part ways, final year of the deal, and get rid of Derrick Henry and trade him to wherever, like a Buffalo, Philadelphia, wherever it may be?
Well, I mean, I could see Buffalo maybe offering a fourth rounder, but again, I don't know if Buffalo – you take out Josh Allen's carries. I was looking at this today. They handed the ball off 18 times a game. So if they were to give Derrick Henry 12 or 13 carries a game, I don't think they're getting what people think of as Derrick Henry with 12 carries a game. That's 10 carries short of what Derrick Henry needs to be Derrick Henry. I don't think it'd be very prudent for Buffalo. I know it only takes one. But is that the best thing for Buffalo to get a guy who needs 22 carries, give him 12 carries, and pay him $10 million, plus give up a pick to get him? And I don't think it'd be very prudent for the Bills or for a lot of teams.
So it would only probably cost a fourth rounder for Henry? I know he's in the final year of his deal, but you only think it's going to be that?
Yeah, I mean, a third would surprise me, and I don't think it'd be more than a third.
So at that rate, it probably just makes sense for them to keep him. And then if he walks at the end of this year, you get a compensatory third-round pick back.
Yeah, though the thing is they have a ton of salary cap money next year, and I think there'll be way more incoming than outgoing of value. So he'd probably get canceled out.
Right now, Paul Kaharsky, when you look at this football team, I know that you still got to go through the draft. You still got to go through free agency. But what are your expectations for this team this year? Because it seems like this is the Jaguars division and then it's everybody else.
Well, I mean, the Titans, you know, absolutely fell apart with injuries, starting with Tannehill. They used 93 players 2 years ago and 87 this last year. Seven-game losing streak was brutal. They need an offensive line rebuild. They need wide receiver help. They're obviously getting older with Tannehill and with Derrick Henry. But I think Mike Vrabel is an excellent coach.
Agreed.
And they've got a new GM. If they can do better drafting and have a fruitful free agency, I don't think they, even if they were bad, come out with fewer than 7 or 8 wins in a division where Indianapolis and Houston are still going to be, you know, at the very best at the front end of good new quarterbacks. And they've got a second-place schedule instead of a first-place schedule, which gets them out of the Bills and the Chiefs and the 49ers. So I think they could, you know, if they do well in this player acquisition stuff, I think they could be right there with the Jags. It's not like the Jags ran away with the thing, and the Jags caught them, you know, two times in that late season fail instead of in the early season when the Titans were pretty good. So I think it'll be a two-team division and much more competitive than it had been for a while. But I think Mike Vrabel will do good work to probably keep them in the mix, or maybe, you know, contending for a seventh spot. As loaded as the AFC is, you know, that seventh spot's been nothing special the last 2 years.
Was the A.J. Brown trade, is that the reason why John Robinson's no longer the GM, in your opinion?
Well, it was the final straw. I mean, Isaiah Wilson played four snaps for the franchise as a first-round pick. Caleb Farley came in as an injured guy, didn't do anything as a first-rounder, was only playing special teams when he injured his back again. They've had too many first-rounders not pan out, hardly re-signed anybody, brought in a guy like Vic Beasley who didn't show much affection for football and only lasted half a season. They didn't get anything out of Jadeveon Clowney when he was here. Too many misses on guys they spent money on or brought in for a big role. Josh Reynolds didn't really like football while he was here, went to Detroit and did some things. Just too many misses. And then the A.J. Brown thing, I mean, the other three teams that had receivers who were upset about their contracts at the same stage, their teams all managed to make things work out. And the Titans folded, seems to me, really quickly with A.J. Brown. And now, guess what they need? A guy like A.J. Brown.
It's funny how that works. At the time, I remember I was on the air at the draft in Las Vegas, and I absolutely slammed them. I thought it sent a horrible message to the locker room for a team that was in it the last few years. You know, we're in an AFC title game, and it just didn't make sense to get rid of one of your better players.
I've covered this team since its last year in Houston in 1996. They've had a problem finding and developing receivers forever. He was the first real premier guy since Derek Mason that they drafted and developed. And Robinson kind of acted like, well, we'll just go do it again. And maybe Treylon Burks turns into that, but it's going to take some time. It didn't take A.J. Brown very long. So you finally get one, you got to treasure it.
Before we let you run, the new GM, Rand Carthon, what could we just kind of expect out of him? What have been your early impressions, Paul Kaharsky?
I mean, he's an impressive guy. He's super popular around the league, too popular with a lot of national media for my liking. From everything I gathered at the Combine, talking to a lot of guys. But, you know, it's too early to have any kind of read on anything. He's cut a bunch of guys that we knew were going to be cut. Outside of that, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what they do in free agency and then with the draft. And only then we'll start to get a sense of what direction he wants to guide them in, and then we'll have to see how they play. But it's very interesting to talk about his desire to serve Mike Vrabel and Mike Vrabel's staff by giving them what they need and what they ask him for. I haven't heard a lot of personnel guys talk so dramatically in those terms. So I think Vrabel's got to be really excited about that.
He's Paul Kaharsky. Make sure you check him out, paulkaharsky.com. Does a great job covering the Titans and also is a big fan of Bruce Springsteen, which we love. Paul, thanks for the time. You be well.
Thanks.
There's Paul Kaharsky joining us on the Zach Gelb Show. I'm stunned by that. Like, 2 weeks ago, if you would have asked me, last week if you would have asked me, Tannehill and Henry, both on the Titans next year, I would say absolutely not. And he thinks Tannehill's going to get extended. He talked about it from a cap perspective. And he thinks Henry's going to be there. You know, if that is true, that all they could get back for Henry is a fourth-round pick, it makes sense to keep him. It does. Like, that's nothing. The Tannehill part, though, it's amazing how he's still going to be their quarterback. Like, fine quarterback, but no one you could actually go win a Super Bowl with.
I guess the only thing I'll ask is, what's the other option?
Yeah, like, you're going to go bring Jimmy G? That doesn't do anything for me.
And, like, they told you fast, Malik Willis is not someone they believe in. So it's like you took the quarterback last year and you gave him, what, two starts before? It's like, okay, we're done.
You know what's funny? I didn't even think of Malik Willis.
Which is a problem right there.
No,
right there.
Because I've already, in my mind, I probably should have asked them, like, what's the future of Malik Willis? But in my mind, when you go to Josh Dobbs and you have a rookie quarterback, done. Like, it's finished.
And that's the problem. It's a third-round pick, so it's not like it's one of those first-rounders, but still, he's also not a seventh-rounder undrafted. And it took three starts, three games for the Titans, back, and we're good. And the fact, like I said, he's already out of sight, out of mind.
Out of mind.
Awful. Awful for
him. I didn't even think about it because the thought was just Tannehill, Tannehill, Tannehill because he's still on the roster. Anyway, Marco Belletti is here. I have to tell you something. And I think you'll be surprised by it.
You set me up for some.
So last year, you were sitting right next to me when Hickey said that the Broncos were going to win the Super Bowl. Russell Wilson would be the Super Bowl MVP. Nathaniel Hackett would be a top three coach for coach of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him today, because it's the one-year anniversary of Russell Wilson getting traded to the Broncos, what is his early number for the Broncos, just off the top of his head, on how many wins he expects them to get this year? They get a coach you may have heard of in Sean Payton. You have Russell Wilson still there. I don't know if that's a good thing. What do you think the number was? They had five wins, let me remind you.
Yeah, no.
They had five wins last
year. That part I remember.
In case if you forgot.
I'm not sure which direction he's headed. So we're either going to get something like it's 12 or 3. So I'm going to go more towards the 12.
So at first he said 11. Then I read in the schedule. Now, we don't know what they're doing in the draft. We don't know what they're doing in free agency yet. We don't know what trades are going to happen. Right out of the gate, he had them going 8-1 at home. Just home. And he ended up having them at 12 wins.
So, there you go.
There you go.
Just a hunt, like I said. I mean, we're going to overreact one way or the other. So I wasn't sure if we were going to go into 3 or if we were headed to 12 or 13, an AFC title game and Super Bowl again.
Now, so. I think the Broncos will be improved, but I'm not ready to go from 5 to 12.
No, but I will say this, and we've talked about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I do think that Russell Wilson will go all in. I find it hard to believe that he's going to let the end of his career really be dictated by the fact of him being stubborn. I'd like to give him enough credit that now he's got a guy that's won a Super Bowl, borderline Hall of Fame coach. If he's not going to be ready to buy in now, I find it difficult to believe, especially the Drew Brees stuff, and we've heard all the talk about him wanting Sean Payton for years and all that. If he's not going all in now, you will never get an all-in Russell Wilson ever again. So I will buy that, and I do think there's something in the tank. I thought it was more mental with him than it was physical. So I can see a bounce back. 12 wins is strong. The defense is solid. I think you're still looking at, 9 wins and a really good season.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let me take one before the break. We go to Texas. Terry joins us next up on the Zach Gelb Show. T, what's happening?
Not much, my friend. I appreciate you having me on. I love your show.
Thank you.
You know what? If this guy in Baltimore was such a commodity, he would have been snatched up today. There's more to this than most people know, including you or I.
Which is what?
The Ravens know something. I don't know. The Ravens must know something. I mean, they're either trying to show him, hey, go on out, see what you can get, and maybe we'll match the offer.
Well, I think comes down to the guaranteed money part. They don't think another team is going to give him the guaranteed money, so they're saying go see what you're worth on the market. But, do you not think Lamar Jackson is a great quarterback?
No, I don't think he is at all. I think he's constantly thinking about running the ball before passing. That's his biggest problem. Yeah, he won this big MVP this first right out of the gate, but even what did he say the very next year halfway through the season? Oh, I guess they figured me out. Well, yeah. Because you constantly are thinking about running before throwing. If it were me, I would say, hey, you're one whale of an athlete, but you're not going to play quarterback for me. You're going to play running back. That's where I would put him.
Yeah, Terry, I think you're caught up in the Bill Polian line of thinking, and this is what? Now I'm thrown back into 2017, 2018. Lamar Jackson has won a unanimous MVP. He's been in the league for 5 years. He's played 70 games in the NFL. He has thrown for over 12,000 yards, has 101 passing touchdowns, only 30 interceptions, and then has run for 4,400-plus yards and 24 touchdowns. You could win with Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson has been in the playoffs multiple times. How many times do we see quarterbacks go in the first round and don't even have 1/16th of the success that Lamar Jackson has already had? If you're at the point where you don't think a team will eventually pay for Lamar Jackson, I just think you're out of your mind. A team is eventually going to give him an offer, but it's the guaranteed money that the owners don't want to give him right now. But I would love to know what the mystery is and what is all caught up here and what the big secret is. And really, if we're going to be fair, that first year, at like, I know he played 16 games and all that, but like there were some packages for him and things like that. But the guy has been an absolute stud in the NFL. But yeah, he should play running back, Marco. Give me a break.
Again, that's asinine, but there is something that doesn't smell right about this whole thing. Because again, we could talk about the handful of franchise quarterbacks that are out there just in the NFL, not on the market, yeah. In the NFL. If they were to hit the market and you can have them for two first-round picks, as long as you outbid the team that they're currently at, how many people would bid for it? Basically everyone. And the second that this tag came out with the Ravens, teams that are quarterback needy were quick to say, we don't want to go down that route. Something's wrong. Something doesn't smell right.
Well, don't you think that's the owners kind of working together to assure for now that he just doesn't get the fully guaranteed deal? Eventually, there's going to be a team that offers him a ton of guaranteed money. I just don't know if it's going to be fully guaranteed.
I don't know. That's Pandora's box that the Browns opened with Deshaun Watson for a different situation, but the guaranteed money. So it's not Lamar Jackson, I want to believe, in this situation. It's the NFL owners getting together and going, look, our way of doing business with non-guaranteed contracts will be done if we continue to give out guaranteed deals to quarterbacks. We need to stop, and we need to stop now. They keep yelling at the Haslams, basically like they're in the corner of the room. They're getting yelled at every time the owners get together. You open this box, we have to close it. And I feel like the owners have gotten together, and they're going to make sure, because Lamar Jackson seems to be the first one that's going to go, I'm getting exactly what Watson got. Russell Wilson didn't ask for that. Mm-hmm. It seems like Kyler Murray didn't ask for that. Lamar Jackson wants what Watson got. And the NFL and the owners are scared to death, because once one is an outlier and you can try to quell it, two, you now have... You have that direction that you're going, and it's hard to close that box once you open it up.
So Kyler Murray got $189 million guaranteed.
Right, but not the full.
It's not fully guaranteed.
That's the thing. That's all it is.
So then what I'm saying is, if it's all about the fully guaranteed money, which I agree, they don't want him to get a fully guaranteed deal, eventually there will be a team, Commanders, Raiders, whoever it may be, you could go through the list, the Falcons, the Panthers, that will probably offer him $200 million fully guaranteed.
Will they, though? Again, if we're talking, and then it's the dangerous word of the collusion, if we're talking about that with the owners, will they? Now, Daniel Snyder's an outlier because who knows what he would want
to
do.
He goes rogue, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, you never know, because I mean, he's on his way out. He doesn't know what he's going to do. So if everybody else is going to be under the mindset of, we can't give out this guaranteed money, we got to make sure that he stays in Baltimore. And that's dangerous, because then we're playing with fire and we're insinuating things on owners that may not be true, but it doesn't smell right. You're telling me Burrow's on the market right now, two first-round picks, non-exclusive tag, how many people are lined up to make that offer?
Yeah, but
Justin Herbert.
But
how
the
many
Bengals
people
would match it.
How many people are lined up to make that offer?
Yeah, everyone probably.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have enough time in my update to give you all the teams that are involved. Lamar Jackson, we can't find anybody. There's nobody.
So what I'm saying is, I would, and I know, because right, you're in the club, and you don't want to annoy anyone in the fraternity. I would go rogue. It doesn't have to be right now. You could play nice, but I would go rogue and say, "Hey, here's $200 million guaranteed. We'll pay you 5 years, $240 million, and we'll give you $200 million guaranteed, and see what the Ravens then would match it." I get best of both worlds. I didn't give them a fully guaranteed deal, guys. $200 million. Kyler Murray just got $189 million.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, if he goes out and he gets a deal five for $240 million with $200 million guaranteed, I think the Ravens would match that. I do.
Yeah, that I don't know.
I do, because they again, should. I think it's the fully. I don't. From what it sounds like, Lamar Jackson just says, you know what? There's no reason for you not to give me every dollar that I get, and I think that's where the holdup is. I think that's the sticking point.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. So Jim Boeheim has retired, a.k.a. Syracuse said, we don't really want you anymore, and it's time to move on. And then they probably just worded this as a retirement. So after their loss in the ACC tournament today to Wake Forest, where they had a shot hit against them with 0.2 seconds left, Jim Boeheim took to the podium, and he said he has already announced his retirement, and he did so last week, if you were listening carefully.
I've just been lucky to be able to coach this long. I think you missed it. I gave my retirement speech on the court last Saturday, and I gave it in the press conference afterwards, and nobody except William Payne figured it out.
So now we're all supposed to know when they're honoring a team that he's probably reminiscing, and yeah, oh, that's you retiring, coach, without you saying you were going to retire. I'll go back and listen to the press conference again. I didn't get that impression. Also, Jim Boeheim said at the time, and now we know that Syracuse made him retire, he says his future is up to Syracuse.
Are you saying right now that you're going to retire?
This is up to the university.
You want to come back?
I didn't say that.
Okay, but so what are you saying? You're not saying you're retiring, but you're not.
I just said it. I don't know.
So you don't know. Okay.
I said this is up to the university.
And you're not sure whether you're how will you make a determination about when you will come back?
You're talking to the wrong guy.
That's Jim Boeheim saying I want to coach, but the university doesn't want me anymore. Guy's been there since the 60s. Player, assistant coach, head coach, he is the program. But we always known he's been a pain in the ass to deal with in the media. He's always been like a stubborn guy at times. He's been I've called him Big Baby Boeheim with the antics that he's pulled. The last 2 years, they haven't been winning. So you needed a change. You needed a switch. It was time to move on. But he didn't want to retire. Finally, Syracuse had some cojones, they had a backbone, and they said enough is enough. And you usher in a new era. That's what you had to do. And you promote a guy within, right? A Boeheim guy. And we've seen that with Jay Wright, with Coach K, Roy Williams. And we'll see if it ends up working. But there was no point in having Boeheim back next year. It's just a weird way for it to end, but it's the stubbornness of Boeheim on why it ends that way. Because this is what he does. And all he had to say was he's retiring and you can't just simply get that out of him. Ay, ay, ay. All right, good show today. Big thanks to Hot Take Hickey. Big thanks to John Jastrzemski for stopping by, Jake DeLome, and Paul Kaharski. We'll be back tomorrow in a big Thursday extravaganza, and it all gets started at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific, right here on CBS Sports Radio, across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. We out. Bye-bye. Peace!